to another episode of No Trash, Just Truth.
No Trash, Just Truth is a podcast of Proverbs 9:10 Ministries. We're your hosts, Rose Spiller
and Chris Paxson. Welcome back. As we've teased on our social media, we're interrupting our series on the minor prophets, majoring in the minors, just for 1 week to bring you a special and a really important interview. Some of you might not immediately recognize the name Lizzie Marbach, but I bet that most of you have heard about the situation that she recently found herself in. She was fired from a pro-life organization for posting a tweet proclaiming Jesus is our only hope. We're thrilled to have Lizzie with us today, and we're thrilled that her very soon to come little one held off on making his debut so that we could get the interview in.
Yeah, we certainly are. And we think Lizzie's story is one that more and more of us are going to find ourselves in as things get worse. But before we get to that, let's meet Lizzie. Lizzie, thank you for being here. And we wonder if you can tell us about yourself. I saw on your Twitter profile or X profile that you were formerly with the Ohio GOP and the RNC, and that you worked on President Trump's 2020 campaign. And there's another byline in your bio that we're definitely going to ask you about, but we're going to wait on that for a little bit. So welcome, Lizzie. And before we get to your whole story, tell us about yourself, how you came to Christ, about your husband.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you ladies even being interested in hearing my story. It's been a very humbling experience seeing all the support that people have really just poured out since everything has happened. But yeah, like you said, I'm a born-again Christian. I grew up in a Christian household, and God definitely snatched me from the fire from a very young age. He, you know, just planted in me a love for his will, his word, and just really a fire to fight for justice from a very young age. I've always been very energized about getting involved in politics, just seeing all of the evil that's taking place in our society. I've always really felt it important that we have people out there fighting against the evil that's taking place, not just from the left, but also in our own camp, even amongst conservatives. A huge part of my story is really just kind of exposing that rot that is within conservatism itself that we really have to recognize if we want to make any inways towards, sharing the gospel and having God really penetrate through our society. We have to acknowledge that conservatives are just as much the mission field as the left is. But yeah, I am married. My husband and I just got married last year on December 3rd. And very quickly, we also got pregnant. And so, yeah, I am due on September 24th. So this upcoming Sunday. So we moved very quickly having kids. So we'll have a 3-month-old, I think, by our 1-year anniversary, which is crazy to think about. But we're very, very excited. We're having a little boy. And we just couldn't be more blessed and excited to welcome him into our home and life. And I know that God is just going to use it to bring even more glory to his name. So, yeah.
That's great. You're going to have a lot of changes quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And this episode releases on Monday. So you might have a baby by the time it releases.
I might. Yeah. I'll be watching it from the hospital.
Oh, yeah. So, Lizzie, let's talk about your tweet. You tweeted, and I'm going to quote it here, "There's no hope for any of us outside of having faith in Jesus Christ alone." That was the tweet. Was there anything that prompted that tweet?
Well, really what prompted it is I was trying to put out something that was, uplifting and hopeful. My boss and I had kind of been going back and forth in the background about some of my other tweets that I was putting out, because if you go to my X page, I guess is what they're calling it now, but if you go to my profile, I am very bold. I'm very courageous about the messages that I'm putting out there. If I see evil happening, I'm going to call it out, whether it's a Republican politician or a Democrat politician or a pro-life politician. No matter who it is, I feel compelled to speak the truth about what's going on. And Ohio Right to Life, my former employer, did not like that very much. They didn't like me calling abortion murder. They didn't like me, fighting back against the abortion advocates that are.
Wait a minute. I don't mean to interrupt, but the Ohio Right to Life didn't like you calling abortion murder?
No, they said that they asked if I could say that abortion is killing instead, because they didn't want to offend anyone or come off too harsh. They thought that it was the wrong tone. And so they were all about putting forth this loving and gentle tone. And hey, I am all for putting forth the truth in love. That's what we're commanded to do, is to speak the truth in love. But what does that actually mean? Are we using the world's definition of love? Or are we using the Bible's definition of love, God's definition of what love is? And I think that we've really contorted that. And Ohio Right to Life, being a secular institution that is run by mostly nominal Christians who don't really understand what the word says and what love actually means, they get very, very embarrassed when Christians actually join the movement. They don't like that very much, because it makes them uncomfortable when we're speaking the truth boldly and courageously in the public square. And so we had been going back and forth in that in the background. And my boss, he was very, very uncomfortable with some of the stuff that I was putting out. So I thought that I would just tweet out a nice, innocuous, uplifting tweet about Jesus Christ that would make everyone feel fuzzy and warm, and then go about my day. And not even 30 minutes later was when Congressman Max Miller responded to my tweet. He's a congressman in the state of Ohio whose wife is also on the board of Ohio Right to Life, and he is endorsed by Ohio Right to Life. He responded to the tweet saying that it's the most bigoted tweet that he has ever seen, that it goes against religious liberty, and he demanded that I delete the tweet and said that it goes too far, which
if
is
he
just...
says that's the most bigoted tweet he's ever seen, he's not on Twitter much or X much.
Yeah, exactly. No. There's a lot going on Twitter, and I can't say that is the most bigoted thing that's on there, but it does point to the truth that there is an exclusivity to the gospel message, and those who aren't saved are going to be offended by it. And the more that we go into a godless society, a secular society that isn't familiar with Christian teachings, where it's more of a foreign idea to them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they're going to be offended, just as we saw in the early church and just as we saw all throughout history, is that people get offended when you tell them that without Jesus, you have no hope.
Yeah, well, the gospel is offensive.
Yeah, and this senator, let's reiterate, I think you said this, but just so people know, he's a Republican. And his wife is on the board of the Ohio Right to Life, where you work. And he's Jewish, correct?
Yes. And he's not just a Republican. He has branded himself as this conservative fighter brand of Republicans. He's a Trump-endorsed Republican who tries to say that he's not a rhino. He's coming to fight the rhinos. But yet he's going against Christianity.
Yes.
So why do you think he had such a strong reaction? I realize it might be speculation on your part, but that's a really strong reaction. It's not like he private messaged you and said, hey, Lizzie, maybe that wasn't the best. What do you think was behind that?
You know, honestly, I'm not completely sure. Like I said, I was very shocked when I saw that he did respond. I know that, his wife and I had gone back and forth in the past about some of the more squishy compromises and strategies that we were taking. I would say, no, we need to stand up for life. And she was more on board with the more establishment approved, being quiet about the actual abortion kind of rhetoric. And so maybe there was some underlying issues there. I'm not completely sure, but to my knowledge, there shouldn't have been any reason that he would have responded in that kind of way.
So you didn't delete it. And then what happened next?
Yeah, I did not delete the tweet. I responded back to him and it continued to share the gospel message with him. He ended up apologizing by the end of the night after having a ton of backlash. And so he did apologize. But then 2 days later, I actually was let go from my job at Ohio Right to Life. And when I was let go in that conversation, they did say that the exchange with Congressman Miller has just turned into a distraction at this point. And because of my social media use as a whole, that we had to part ways. And so they did cite that at the time of my firing. That leads me to believe that it had to play some role in us separating. But I think the bigger issue was the fact that I was holding them to a standard that they felt very uncomfortable with as an organization.
Well, I'm curious because I don't know a lot of secular right to lifes. So what's their whole philosophy there? They're obviously against abortion. They believe life starts at conception. Is that true?
So it's actually funny, in our bylaws, most people that were on the board were under the assumption that Ohio Right to Life's standard was that life begins at conception. But apparently, and we were in the middle of trying to rectify this, but apparently in our bylaws, it says that life begins at implantation. I don't have the exact documentation on that, but yeah, apparently a few years back, Ohio Right to Life and its board voted to make it to say that life begins at implantation, so that we wouldn't touch issues of birth control or IVF or any of those, and that it would just be about abortion. And our CEO, Peter Range, to his credit, as soon as he started with Ohio Right to Life and as soon as he found out that that was in our bylaws, he immediately tried to do everything to change that, to make it that life begins at conception, at fertilization, the sperm egg fusion at that moment. And he has done all that he could do to get that rectified, but they still haven't voted to change that yet. So as of right now in their bylaws, they say that life begins at implantation for Ohio Right to Life, which is just insane.
That's something I don't think many people know. I've never heard anybody say that
before.
No,
I haven't either.
And that's a huge difference. Those two things are hugely different.
Well, it opens up the door for that Plan B pill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the purpose of why they did that is because it's politically convenient. Right. And so anytime that their president, Mike Anadakis, gets asked a question about birth control or IVF or Plan B, he can shrug it off and say, absolutely not. Ohio Right to Life is not against those things. And he doesn't have to answer the hard questions, and he doesn't have to reconcile his statement that life begins at conception and also that we're supporting birth control and other things. It makes it a politically easy out for him. And I think that was the reason why they voted on it to begin with, whenever they did put that into their bylaws and their policy. And that's been their MO for a very long time. And I don't mean to gossip. If anything, it's my prayer that they would change and that they would come to know the truth and advocate for the truth. But unfortunately, they have really made it clear that pragmatism and political expediency, that they've made that their God in the decisions that they make.
Lizzie, are those bylaws available to the public? I'm wondering about other organizations, because I'm sure now that you've said that, there probably are lots of other organizations that are the same.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're available to the public. I don't believe that they're on our website. Like I said, a lot of the board members didn't even realize that that was in our bylaws and policy when the CEO brought it up to rectify it. A lot of them had no idea that this was Ohio Right to Life stance. And so it's something that has been hidden. And honestly, it could not even be in the bylaws, and it could just be something that our president, Mike Anadakis, is saying so that we don't have to talk about those issues. I have yet to be able to even find it documented. So I'm not completely sure where they even keep those kind of decisions or those bylaws. But if you are a supporter of Ohio Right to Life and you find that to be insane and just morally repugnant that they would take that kind of stance, I would give them a call and ask them to show you where they have this in their bylaws. And if they do, then they need to change that immediately. Because yeah, that's just ridiculous for any pro-life organization in 2023 to take the stance that life begins at fertilization. That's not even a politically popular pro-life talking point. If we're going purely off of pragmatism, 99% of pro-life organizations do happily admit that life begins at conception. So it's not even in line with the rest of the pro-life community. But also, I mean, it's just a lie. It's a blatant lie. And we know that that's not the truth. And it's just wrong for them to have that.
And it's so ambiguous. How do you definitively define when implantation takes place? Like, how could they possibly know when that would be for each woman? Because you don't really know. So that just seems like such an ambiguous, purposely vague statement.
Yeah, and it truly is. And I mean, honestly, there's no way to know, you know, the exact date of implantation. I think that their purpose for it is to be able to avoid the hard topics that it, like birth control or other abortifacients that might not take place after a woman finds out that she's pregnant, but they're, you know, societally popular enough that they're like a Plan B pill or the birth control pill or IVF. If we say that life begins at conception, then that really, and we pass that into law, that really would do a number on IVF clinics and big fertility and all of those things. It would call into question a lot of the things that they're doing, which needs to be called into question. But I think that it's a way just to avoid those hard questions.
So you lost your job and there was a public backlash. What happened next?
I mean, really, I have shared my story. I've made it public so that people can see the inside of the pro-life movement and the pro-life establishment, what's really taking place at a lot of these organizations. I think so many Christians are unaware of the kind of compromise that the pro-life movement has taken over the past 50 years. So much of the work that they claim that they're doing to actually fight for the unborn, they're not actually doing. And if anything, they're doing the opposite. They're working against bringing justice for the preborn. They just openly, or should I say privately, were lobbying against a bill here in the state of Ohio that would have ended abortion, all abortion from the moment of conception, and would have given full personhood to the preborn. So it would have been a bill of equal protection. And the pro-life movement lobbied against that bill, which is just insane for a pro-life supporter, for a grassroots supporter who looks at these organizations, to hear that a pro-life organization is trying to stop a bill that would protect the preborn. What gives? What is that about? And the truth is because a lot of the pro-life organizations have come out directly in opposition of ever truly ending abortion. They're okay with ending abortion clinics, so closing down clinics, stopping abortion doctors from performing abortions, but they never want to ever even think about criminalizing women, giving full equal protection to the preborn. They want to have unjust laws and do it incrementally over the next hundreds of years so that they can never actually tackle the issue at hand.
I mean, as horrible as that is, it's not surprising given that they're not using scripture as the basis for, you know, what they're about and for their vision and their mission. So, because you have to think, if they're not using scripture to define their mission, like, where's it coming from? Is it just people who think, you know what, it's not right that after this point, babies are killed? So it intrigues me in a way that, like, where are your morals coming from if you don't want to hear about God's word and if you're not using God's word?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's one that a lot of organizations need to answer, is where are they actually getting their morals from? Where are they actually being guided by what standard, right? That's a question that we always hear, at least within the Christian circles that, that I listen to, is by what standard are you asserting this moral truth? Is it from God's word or is it just from man's opinion? And I think that what we're seeing is a lot of it is from man's opinion. When you work in politics in any kind of way, you are always tempted to give into political pragmatism, to making ungodly compromises on issues that there are no compromises available on. We just saw this past week with President Trump when he was interviewed by Meet the Press. He openly advocated for abortion. He said that it's wrong to end abortion by a heartbeat bill, and that it's wrong to take out rape and incest exceptions, And he wants to find some compromise that both sides will be happy about. But you can't do that on this issue. This isn't tax reform. This isn't school choice. This isn't a kind of issue that you can come to the middle about. It's either you're going to allow babies to die or you're going to save them. That those are the only two options on this. And the pro-life movement really has given into so much of the pragmatic ways of thinking. They always use the verse that we had to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, but whose wisdom are we using there? Yeah. Are we going after, right. Are we listening to the political consultants that are in DC, or are we reading the Bible and getting the wisdom from God? And it's so clear that a lot of them are not getting their wisdom from God. They're getting it from politicians, from consultants, and from fear. Really, a lot of it is just cowardice. In the state of Ohio, they've completely shut down any kind of efforts to pass any pro-life legislation this year because they are scared to death that if they do that, if they try to stop abortion in any way in the state of Ohio, that the abortion lobby's ballot initiative that would enshrine abortion through all 9 months, it'll be in our ballot this November. They're trying to amend the Constitution to enshrine abortion. The pro-life movement is afraid that if we advocate for any kind of bills to save life, that the abortion lobby will win in November. And while I can understand that fear, the abortion lobby is a big giant to face. That doesn't make it okay. And that doesn't make it the wise thing to do. It just means that you're acting cowardly. You're being fearful. And it's really frustrating because at least in Ohio, there's a lot of men that are leading the movement in a cowardly fashion. We have so many men that are just controlled by cowardice and fear. And we really need to break free of that.
Well, if you're not following scripture, there you go. You're going to be fearful and you're going to not trust God to be able to handle the election if you let these things pass. I don't think people know this, Lizzie. That was one of the things that intrigued me. I didn't know how much the pro-life industry was actually working against saving babies.
Yeah, no, there's been so many recent events that have happened that have really brought to light the compromise that is taking place in the pro-life movement. We just saw last year in the state of Louisiana, the abolitionists, they were able to bring forth a bill similar to what they're trying to do here in Ohio that would give all equal protection to the preborn. It was right before Roe got overturned. And in Louisiana, they had the bill that would give full equal protection and all abortion. And the entire pro-life lobby fought against that bill. 76 organizations throughout the nation signed a letter that was opposing the bill, saying that in no way do they support equal protection because it would have the possibility of criminalizing women. And so they're openly against that. So we saw that in Louisiana. The same thing just happened in Missouri, as well as here in the state of Ohio. Every single state that we've tried to bring forth these equal protection bills, it's been the pro-life lobby that has been the biggest obstacle to getting these passed. It's been the pro-life lobby that's ensured all of these bills did not go anywhere and that the preborn were not protected. The pro-abortion side hasn't had to lift a finger in any of these states, and they're deep red states. And so they can't even say that, oh, well, we don't have the votes. There's no use in bringing these bills forth because they'll never pass. They would pass. We have the votes. There are super majority pro-life legislatures that we're bringing them to, but the pro-life lobby is telling them not to vote for them. And so they're really putting all of their effort to not protecting the preborn and to protecting abortion. They're doing all that they can do to ensure abortion continues to take place in their states.
So I got to ask, because there are Christian pro-life organizations, Pro-Love and Lila Rose, and at least I think they are. They seem like they are. Is there a big problem within the pro-life movement against the Christian pro-life movement and the secular? Because I would assume the Christian pro-life organizations firmly believe, you know, life begins at conception. They want abortion stopped at all. Is that not true? Is that true? Is there infighting?
Yeah, well, hate to put a blanket statement out there on every single organization, but I would say that every organization that lobbies for bills, there's not a single pro-life organization that has come out in support of equal protection bills. Live Action is the closest that I've seen, but even they're still silent on the bills. They won't lobby against them, but they won't come out in support of them. And we just saw that they did just put out an equal protection bill at the national level. But in that bill, it has a clause saying that no woman could ever be punished for abortion. And so that by its very definition is no longer equal protection. You're taking the blindfold off of Lady Justice and now saying that an entire gender is immune from ever being charged with a crime. And so I think that there are some organizations that recognize some of the corruption taking place in the pro-life movement, but I haven't seen anyone really stand up and fight against it except for the abolitionist groups. And I think that it's because a lot of pro-lifers want to bring redemption to the movement. They have so many friends that are in the movement that want to believe that there's, you know, good efforts taking place. But I think that we've really come to a time where we have to make the decision, are we going to advocate for the preborn? Are we genuinely going to do all that we can do to end the horror of abortion? Or are we going to continue to compromise? And I think that while it's sad to see some of our friends not come onto the side of justice, we have to choose justice for the preborn over it all. And yeah, so I have yet to see any pro-life organizations that lobby for bills do the right thing on this, unfortunately.
That's shocking.
That's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm.
So everybody listening or watching, write your congressman, write your pro-life group near you. And I mean, I know Live Action and Pro-Love, they're always on social media. Push back right at them.
Yeah, no, I think that that's what we need to do is just start holding them to account, letting them know that the grassroots sees what's happening and we're not happy about it. We need to see a change. And in Live Action's defense, Lila Rose did come out in favor of full equal protection, saying that she's not against criminalizing women. But yet, again, the bills that they're putting forth are still having those immunity clauses and they're not actually lobbying for the equal protection bills that do get filed. They're just silent on it. And so we have to do more than just be silent. We have to do more than just stay neutral. We have to openly advocate for equal protection for the preborn.
Yeah, sad to say, it seems the whole conservative movement, they just do nothing. So like you said, the left doesn't really have to do anything because the right's not doing anything.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what we were saying in the very beginning. I think it's because the conservative movement is not guided by Christ. We see so much of this within the movement. And John Root, he's a political commentator, but he just kind of coined a new phrase called Christless conservatism. And that's really what we're seeing right now is just Christless conservatism taking place. We have these people who might agree with us on some important issues, but they aren't grounded in the faith. And so when Christians actually want to continue being Christians and we're told that we have to compromise for our favorite politician or for elections, and we say, well, no, then they're flabbergasted by that. And they don't know how to react to Christians that actually are standing strong on this. And so we need to really take up the mantle of knowing what time it is, knowing that now is not the time to back down. Just as much as the left needs to hear the gospel, the right does as well. And we see that very clearly just during this primary season of what's taking place for the presidential election. Some of the conversations that have taken place with that, Congressman Max Miller saying that, you know, the gospel message is bigoted. Just all of these different pieces of evidence that show that we really need to share the gospel with our fellow conservatives.
Amen to that. And that's a message that really needs to get out there because I don't think many of us think about it or even know about it.
Yeah, exactly. We see all these organizations like Turning Point or Daily Wire or whatever other organization, PragerU, where they're doing great things. They're advancing the truth. They really are trying to bring forth the truth and fight for it. But again, they're just not grounded in right. the Bible. And so they fall short when the going gets tough. They compromise every single time. And so I think that as Christians, we need Christian leaders. I think that's really what needs to take place, is the church needs to stand up. We need so many more leaders on this so that we're not, you know, passing off the duties as Christians to go into the world and make disciples. We're not passing off that duty to people at Turning Point or right. to people at Daily Wire, that we're taking up that mantle as well. And that we're bringing Christ into all realms of society, including politics. We can't compartmentalize our faith where we just, you know, live as Christians at home and then never do anything in the public square, because that's not bringing forth what we need to be bringing in order to, you know, advance society towards Christ.
When we had Tom Askell on, he had said, this is the big fights we have to have, you know, the drag queen story hours, abortion. And he said that we're never going to do it if pastors don't step up and lead the way, that they need to be the front line so the rest of us can get behind them. And, you know, exactly what you're saying. This isn't mm-hmm. the time to compromise or be nice.
Yeah, exactly. We need pastors more than ever. And I think that the reason why we see so much compromise on this issue specifically, the abortion issue specifically, is because the church has really just given this issue to the pro-life movement. They say, oh, well, I'll just donate to my local pregnancy center, or I'll donate to Ohio Right to Life or Live Action. And that's me as a Christian doing my duty to fight abortion, rather than being out there at the abortion mills, leading the effort to getting just laws passed, speaking out to our leaders, calling them to account. We've really just kind of passed off that demand that God gives us as Christians to these worldly organizations, and think that we can check a box and go about it, but we can't. We need pastors and godly men to really rise up and take up this mantle.
I don't have the exact quote, but I think Francis Schaeffer said, every time we see a Planned Parenthood, you could have a sign on it that says, this is allowed here by the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
So I'm wondering, you had a strong reaction from Congressman Miller. And I will say, I saw Dinesh D'Souza jumped right in and defended you. And I have no idea if the man's a Christian. I have no idea. But he did jump in and defend you right away. And I was glad to see that. But he did have a strong reaction. Now, do you take encouragement or discouragement from the fact that he had such a strong reaction to the basic gospel message?
That the congressman had such yes. a strong
yes.
reaction?
Yes.
You know, it's a mix of both. Obviously, I'm never encouraged to hear someone reject the gospel, but I think that it should be an encouragement to Christians that no matter who you're speaking to, the gospel message will offend when it penetrates hearts. And so who's to say that, you know, Max Miller wasn't getting convicted, and that was his reaction to conviction, and that didn't plant a seed that down the line he might come to God. And so I'm encouraged and emboldened to, you know, continue speaking the truth, because it just shows, when you get reactions like that, it shows that, you know, God's truth will pierce hearts, and that it is doing exactly what he promised us that it would do. And so it gives me faith in God that he's bringing all glory to his name. And because of the reaction that the congressman gave, now over 2.5 million people have seen the gospel, which is just amazing. That's something that I could have never accomplished on my own. And so it just shows that God really does work all things together for his good and to bring glory to him. So I think that we should always remember that going forth, that you're going to upset some people, and sometimes the consequences are going to be big. You might lose your job or worse, who knows what's to come in the future. But we're still commanded to share the truth and to go out there and share the good news with people, no matter what the consequence would be. So I think that we should count it all as joy when we experience things like that.
I would say amen to that.
Yeah.
So Lizzie, as a reformed women's ministry that's constantly telling women to stop letting these fake, fluffy, emotion-driven false teachers dumb us down, we love seeing in your bio that you said that you're passionate about helping others use their brains. And that just thrills us to see stuff like that. So can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, like I said, I've always kind of had a fire in my belly from a very young age about just fighting for justice. And it's God has really just given me, I would say, the gift of discernment to be able to, you know, see right from wrong, and not just right from wrong, but almost right to actual right. I don't get that perfectly. I still struggle with that day to day and still need God to help me along the way. But I've just always had a passion for sharing the truth. And I think that as Christians, we all should be passionate about that and helping the world around us think clearly. And the only way that they can think clearly is through the lens of the gospel. The Bible tells us that a man who says there is no God is a fool. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we see that in our society today. The more that we reject God, the more that we live in a pagan, openly pagan society where it's purely secular and Christianity has no traces in our public square, the more downright foolish our society becomes, the more stupid it becomes. And so the only way that we can really have a flourishing society, have a society that is filled with thinkers, that is filled with people that use their brains, is if we're pushing forth the gospel and teaching them how to think clearly by using the tools that God has given us.
Romans 12:2, kind of our theme verse.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
I was thinking of the verse that talks about them becoming like their idols.
Yeah.
The wood, you know, wood and stone, just can't think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They just become complete fools.
Yes.
So you were living what I'm assuming was a pretty quiet life. And then God used someone who's an enemy of him, at least right now, to propel you into the public eye. And like you said, 2.5 million people have seen the gospel message, seen your story. So do you think he's calling you to something, or what's next for you? I know you're about to become a mother, so probably you're going to need some sleep for a while, but
yeah,
what's next for you? Are you thinking about using this new public platform you have, or what do you think God's calling you to do?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm still not completely sure. It's definitely been a whirlwind since everything has taken place. And so I want to be slow to make any kind of decisions. Right now, obviously my biggest focus, like you said, is going to be being a new mother and still a new wife. We're not even a year in. And so really just trying to grow in those roles to glorify God as a wife and mother there. I think that that's where most of my energy is going to be put towards. However, I do want to, you know, try to use the platform that God has given me in any way to bring forth the gospel and the truth, and to advocate for, you know, his word and his law, whether it, putting that into place and into politics. So I definitely want to, you know, use whatever platform he gives me, but also be slow to make any concrete decisions right now.
That seems really, really wise.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to. It's definitely been a very difficult to navigate because everything is moving 100 miles an hour. And, you know, sometimes if you don't move immediately, then the opportunity passes. But that's okay if opportunities pass, as long as I'm ultimately doing the right thing and moving wisely. That's what I'm trying my best to do.
Have you had a lot of people reach out to you in support of you?
I actually have. That's been very encouraging, just to see how many people have jumped in to support me and show that, you know, they appreciate what I said and standing up for, you know, God and his truth. I've been very encouraged to see that. Even people who I would say aren't Christ followers themselves, they were, you know, encouraging me in that. And so I think that's been definitely a blessing to see so many people speak out in favor of what I did.
We're so thankful you exposed the rot in the pro-life movement. I mean, because that's really what it is. It's just rot, and in the whole conservative movement. So praying that it does not go wasted and that you've opened the eyes of a lot of people. I know you've opened our eyes.
Yeah, definitely. The things that I didn't know. So hopefully that message will get way out there and people will start looking into these organizations.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for your encouragement. And that's my hope and prayer as well, is that I would just, that this situation would open the eyes of many about what's actually going on in the pro-life movement. Because I think the more that we're asleep on this, the more that we allow these issues to go unmentioned, the deeper the rot goes and the more preborn lives are taken from us. And so, yeah, I would just encourage everyone, if you do want to learn more about what's going on in the pro-life movement, End Abortion Now by Jeff Durbin. He's done a ton of work on this issue. Abolitionist Rising, if you go to their YouTube channel, they have a ton of videos exposing it as well. There's so many resources out there that can really break down what's been going on in the pro-life movement over the past few decades.
And we can put those links on this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you, Lizzie. We appreciate your time. And we will, Chris and I, and well, by the time everyone watches, you may have the baby, but Chris and I will be praying that all goes well with your little one. And we wish you all the best.
We do.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys listening to my story and give me the opportunity to come on your show. So I appreciate it. And I'll let you guys know if I have him before this comes out. So.
All right.
Okay.
Send
great.
A picture. We can put
yes,
a picture.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day, everyone.